faithfulness of God. Has anybody done that besides me? You know, you get in there, it's like, God, are you going to show up this time? God, are you really going to help me out here? You know, God, are you going to be faithful today? And sometimes we question that, you know, in the moment. And I believe that, you know, as we get into God's word and we realize who God is and that God is a faithful God, that he is always there. You know, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. You know, when we realize that God is faithful, when things are going good, when the hard times come, that will still be there. We can still trust in that and that God is faithful. And, you know, the question is, why is it sometimes hard to believe that God is faithful? You know, we get in those situations and when sometimes, you know, we just, even if a split second, you know, we question, you know, the faithfulness of God. Why is it sometimes hard for us to believe that God's always going to be faithful? You know, that God, you know, will forgive me. You know, why is it hard to believe that sometimes? And I think sometimes that we've all been hurt in life. You know, we've all been let down. We've all been disappointed by people in life. You know, whether it be from a parent or a teacher or you know, someone significant in your life. You know, they gave you their word and they didn't follow through or whatever the reason. And sometimes we project onto God the relationships that we've had in our past where we've been disappointed. And we kind of halfway expect God to disappoint us at times. In fact, I've got a letter here that I want to read to you. That it's a letter from a daughter to her dad. And, you know, it kind of helps illustrate this point. It says, "Dear Dad, or more accurately, to the man who made my existence possible. For the past couple years, I managed to get through Father's Day without giving you a single thought. But this year is different. This year, you are all I seem to think about. And the same simple question replays over and over in my head. I know you and Mom went your separate ways. It was your loss because she's pretty amazing. But why did the end of your relationship become the end of ours? For months after, I stayed up late believing that you were coming back. I prayed that you would do the Mrs. Doubtfire on us." Y'all remember that movie, right?
Yeah.
"We once had an older woman stay around, and I was convinced that it was you. I even had a falling out with Mom because of it, because she didn't believe me. But of course, she was right. And it wasn't you. That's when the reality set in that you were not coming back. And that was my first heartbreak, in case you were wondering. I always hoped that you would come walking through the door and everything would go back to normal, even though you didn't abandon me. You called it ever so often. You sent birthday cards. I even got to see you sometimes, but you were never there. You were never my hero. You never told me I was beautiful. You never warned against bad relationships, and boy, did I need some warning. And I was never your little girl. I was at a wedding recently, and I witnessed a father-daughter dance. And it broke my heart, Dad. It was the first time I really felt jealous of someone for having a father that she clearly loved, a father that was her hero. And in that moment, I craved a relationship with you. And it broke my heart to know that I will never experience something so special as a father-daughter dance. Because of the choices you made, I'll never get those moments with you. How could you have left knowing that you'll never walk me down the aisle? Did that ever cross your mind? Did it ever cross your mind that I would need you? And I needed you so badly. That 8-year-old who prayed and cried for you to come home isn't around anymore. She turned into a teenager that hated you. Then to a young adult who hated men, who expected nothing but hurt and disappointment from men, because that's all you showed her. It's taken a long time, but this 25-year-old woman that you see today is no longer filled with hate, but with hope. After all the hurt and disappointment, that's one thing that you did give me, Dad. A hope that dares to imagine that anything is possible. A chance of a father-daughter relationship. In the power of a letter, love your hopeful daughter." And this is a sad testimony to the way a lot of kids are raised these days. And I'm not here to bash dads or anything like that, you know. But, you know, sadly, it's more and more likely that this scenario happens than that a child is raised with their father and their mother in the same house. And as you can see the hurt that you hear coming out of this, of the disappointment, and that she said, I turned into a teenager that hated men and a young woman, you know, that hated men, that expecting nothing but hurt and disappointment. And I think sometimes in life that we take that hurt and disappointment that we get from people and we project that onto God. And we expect the same thing from Him. Well, this is the way everybody else is treating me. Why would God do anything different? But I'm here to tell you today, guys, that God is faithful. That God's never going to walk out on you. That He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That when He gives you His word, that He will perform it. And so today we're going to talk to you about God is faithful. See, any time that I've trusted God and put my faith in Him, He's always come through. God has never let me down. Now, there are times in life that I didn't trust in God and I failed. But it wasn't because of Him, it was because of me. See, God has always been faithful to His word in my life. See, I'm not special. See, we're all God's children, and He wants to do the same thing for you. But we've got to put our trust and our faith in God. So how is God faithful? What does that look like? You know, what does that mean that God is faithful? Does it mean that life will be perfect? We're never going to have a struggle. We're never going to have a bad day. We're never going to experience pain or grief. No. That's not what that means. But as we go through life, and as life happens, we know that God is always there. See, we see in Psalms 23:4, it says, even though I'll walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, even in your darkest times, in your darkest days, God is right there with you. Because He is faithful. He always will be. So today I want to just pull out three different things that we see in the scripture about God being faithful. The first one I want to talk about today is God is faithful to His word. God is always faithful to what He says that He will do. See, here's the thing, guys. This thing right here, it's not just supposed to look pretty on your coffee table or on your shelf. But this is God speaking to you. This is God's word to you. And unfortunately, most Christians hardly ever crack this unless it's the Sunday morning. And see, how are we going to get to know the faithfulness of God, who God is, and His word to us? How are we going to get to know God if we never get into this book? Begin to study and to understand. See, one of the things I love about God's word, and then, you know, the Bible says that it is powerful. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And, you know, this isn't just a regular book. You know, this just isn't another book in the library. But there's something special because these are the words of God. It means that it's alive. It's not just a books that or words that you read. But this is God to us. This is God's word to us. And so what I love is there's times that, you know, I'm reading God's word, and, you know, I try to make it a daily habit in my life to sit down just a time where I spend time in His word and read. And it's amazing that, you know, no matter how many times I've read a scripture, that there's times where it's just like it just jumps off the page at me. And like God begins to speak through me through just this one passage that I've read, you know, 100 times already. And all of a sudden it's just like, oh, wow. That's what that means. That's what He's talking about there. And God just reveals Himself through that. And the first thing I want to talk about is God is always faithful to His word. And, you know, like I said, we're going to let the scripture speak for themselves today. And so we see in 1 Corinthians 1:7. It says, now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here it says that God will do what he says. I love this scripture because it says that in life, you know, we're eagerly waiting for the return of our Lord. And it says that you have been given every spiritual gift that you need. Everything that you need in this life is already on the inside of you. See, when you get saved, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. That's the power of God. And when he comes and moves in to your life, he brings everything that you need to make it in this life. It's already in there. See, God never asks you to do anything that you can't do. You know, it's just like my son Owen is 4. It would be ridiculous for me to say, "Owen, I want you to go mow the yard," and hand him the keys to the lawnmower. That would end very badly. I mean, I just couldn't even imagine what would happen with that. But he's not equipped to do that. He can't do that. And so it would be ridiculous for me to ask him to do that. And God's the same way. He's never going to ask you to do anything that he hasn't already equipped you to do. In obedience to his word and to following his plan for your life, he's already placed it on the inside of you. Everything that you need to live a godly life. And to do what he's called you to do. And so we've got to know that. But see, if we're not in God's word, we don't know that. We don't know that God is faithful to place that in our life. And that he's always faithful to his word. I love 2 Corinthians verse 1:19. It says, "For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no." He's not wishy-washy. He doesn't change his mind. "He is the one whom Silas and Timothy and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen," which means yes, "ascends to God for his glory." Isn't that great? You know, another translation said, all of God's promises are yes and amen to the glory of God. If you can find it in the scripture that God promised it to you, it's always yes. He will always do what he said he will do. See, I believe that's why so many Christians struggle, because they don't know the promises of God for their life. There are certain things that I pray over my family. As we go to school every day, we're driving down the road, and I'm sure my kids just ignore me when I do this, but I say, "Guys, let's pray." And I just pray. It's like, "God, thank you for these children. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, they have the mind of Christ. And as they go, God, that your hand of protection is on them physically, emotionally, spiritually, God, that nothing's going to harm them today, God. And I just thank you, Lord, that they learn and they grow today in Jesus' name." And I speak that word over them because I know that God is faithful. I know that God is faithful to what he says. All of God's promises are yes and amen. Psalms 33, 4 and 5 says, "For the word of the Lord holds true, and you can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is good and just, and the unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth." See, we've got to know that God is going to be faithful to his word. That we stand in faith that he's going to perform what he said he will do. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again." God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. See, I wish that when I said something that I was always faithful to my word. There's times I mess up. There's times I forget. There's times I disappoint. It's not on purpose. You know, I don't do it to be ugly and mean. But see, we've got to understand that God never disappoints. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. But see, here's the deal. You know, God's not a genie in the bottle. You know, he's not a, And, you know, it's not a magic formula to where, you know, if I say this particular thing, then God does this. You know, God doesn't act on our command. But see, there's this thing called seed time and harvest. And that as we're faithful and we sow, you know, God's word in our life. You know, as we pray over our kids, as we pray over our marriages and we speak God's word over things, then he is there to perform that in our lives. See, here's the thing. If you never put your trust in God's word, then God's not going to perform those things in your life. So you've got to trust in him. You've got to put your faith in him to do what he said he's going to do. God is always faithful to his word. So number one, God is always faithful to his word. Number two, God is faithful during temptation and trials. God is faithful during the temptations and the trials. See, one thing that God never promised us was that life would be perfect, that life would be easy. In fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, "I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." I mean, he's warning us, you're going to have trials. You're going to have sorrows. You're going to have those times, those hard times in life. I'm not shielding you from hard times. Because, unfortunately, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they sinned. And brought death into the world. And it begun this cycle of death and destruction. And as sons and daughters of Adam, that we were born into sin. And because of that, there are trials and there's sorrows and there's temptations and there's hard times in life. But one thing that we've got to realize that God is always faithful during the trials and the temptations in life. He's always there for us. When we're walking through life's dark valleys, he's right there with us. I wish to God that he would not allow bad things to happen. I wish that was the way it was. But that's just not the way it works. But we've got to trust in him that he's going to make us, help us through those times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall." Man, isn't this so true? That it seems like when we feel like everything's going right, you know, when we're finally got into a good rhythm and studying God's word and praying and spending time with him, and we feel like everything's going right, that's when we get hit the hardest. Has anybody else experienced that in life? You know, it's just like, you know, here's the deal. You know, if you're not doing anything for God, the devil's not worried about you. But it's when you're striving and you're doing the things, you know, that God asks you to do, and you're walking in his purpose, that's when the enemy is going to attack. When you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Man, that's such a great promise of God that he's never going to allow us to be overwhelmed in life. Yes, the trials are coming. The hard times are coming, yes. But know that God is walking with you during those times. See, here's the way that I kind of think about God. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand, you know, God and how he works, because, you know, he's all powerful. He's all knowing. Like, he knows everything. Like, he knows the thoughts we're going to think before we think it, you know, and you're just like, how does he do that? You know, like, how does he know all this is going to happen? And you know, but the kind of the way that I have to picture it in my mind is that, you know, when we sit down to watch a movie, you know, we're there in the movie. We're going scene by scene and we're in there with the characters and we see everything that happens and, you know, we're living life with them. But at the end of the movie, we can come back and watch it again, and we kind of know what's going to happen, right? You know, we know that, you know, in this scene, you know, this person is going to be attacked, and, you know, you just think of those old horror movies. You know, the people always do the wrong thing. You know, you never run upstairs when someone's about to kill you, right? You run out the front door, you know. And there's certain things in those movies, you know, that you just don't do. You know, and after you've watched the movie, you're just like, dummy, don't do that. You know, this is going to happen to you. And I believe that's the way God looks at our life, in that he sees the whole thing from beginning to end. He knows what's going to happen in our life already. And so what he does is, as he's looking over our lives, he sees those times of trials that are coming. He sees those temptations that are coming, the hard times that are coming. And I believe that during those times, he brings his grace and his mercy and places them right in that moment of our life. And he's faithful to be there during those times of trials and temptations. And it says, God is faithful. He will not allow us the temptation to be more than what we can handle. See, I believe that when we're at our weakest, God's grace is at its strongest. In our struggle, God adds the extra grace and the mercy that we need to make it through those times. And I love what it says, that he will show you the way out so that you can endure. See, I believe that during those times that he knows it's coming, and so he's already made provision for it. He's already placed the things that you need for that time right there. But see, most of the time what happens during trials and temptations is always like, God, where are you? You know, God, you know, what could have I done different? You know, what? And we begin to think about ourselves and what we could have done, and we kick ourselves because, you know, we fell to that temptation again, and we get all caught up in ourselves. And God's saying, hey, dummy, look at me. I've already provided for you everything that you need to make it through. Just give it to me. See, God is faithful during the trials and the temptation. Is that when the hard times come, and instead of putting our heads down and feeling sorry for ourselves, let's look up to God and say, okay, God, you knew this was coming. You knew this hard financial time was coming. God, I'm looking for your provision. God, I'm looking for the grace that you provided to help me through this. And our eyes are on him instead of us. See, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, you know, just like the story of Peter walking on the water. You know, they're out in the boat, the waves, and you know the trials hitting them, the waves are about to sink, and then they see this ghostly looking thing walking towards them, and Jesus is like, don't be afraid, it's me. And then Peter, he's like, Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come out there with you. And he said, well, come on then. And I believe that in this moment God was providing this for Peter. And Peter steps out of the boat. He begins to walk on water. His eyes were on Jesus, and he was walking towards him. He was walking on water. I've never been able to walk on water. I've tried. I sink every time. Try to the bottom. It doesn't work. But in this moment, in Peter, he was scared, and this thing was going on, and Jesus was like, well, come on out here. And so God provided the provision for him to be able to walk on water. But then he said, he began to look at the waves. And he began to look at what was going on, and he sank. See, I think that's the way it is in our lives, that we get in those hard times and we like, okay, God, I need your help through this. And he begins to provide for us. But then when we start like, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay this bill? And, you know, how am I going to make it through this time? And we begin to sink. See, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because he is faithful during the trials and the temptations of life. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, pray too that we'll be rescued from wicked and evil people. For not everyone is a believer. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. See, one of the beautiful things that we see that happens on the cross, in that, you know, we know that we have an enemy. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, but Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And one of the beautiful things that happened at the cross was that our enemy was defeated. See, Satan was defeated at the cross. Sin, death, addiction, bad habits, all that was defeated at the cross through what Jesus did for us. Because that should have been us on there, because we were the ones that sinned. We were the ones that did wrong. Jesus did nothing wrong. And the Bible says that in that moment, he said that Jesus took our righteousness, which is like filthy rags, and he put it on himself. And he died the death that we deserve. And in turn, that he gave us his righteousness, which is perfectness in the eyes of God. And so at that moment on the cross, you know, Jesus paid the price for our sin so that we can have freedom and that we can have life. And in that moment, he defeated our enemy for us. And so when we give our life to him, say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I give my life to you. In that moment, he takes all of our sin, places it on the cross to be forgiven, and he gives us his righteousness. Okay, what does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. Is that when God looks at me, he doesn't see sinful Joe, but he sees perfect Jesus. That's what that means. That when we give our lives to him, we get his righteousness. And so when he looks at me, when he looks at you as a believer in Jesus Christ, he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your addictions and your struggles, but he looks at you and he sees Christ in you. And he is well pleased. See, he paid the price for your sin. And so here's the thing, though. If he paid the price for sin on the cross, then why do we still sin? Why is it that we still give ourselves to the temptations? Why do we keep giving ourselves to the addiction? Because it's a choice that we make. See, we're no longer bound by sin. We're no longer bound by temptations and trials. We're no longer controlled by those things because those are paid for at the cross. See, the only way our enemy can defeat us is if we give him that right to control us. Because he's defeated. He has no power. But we decide to give ourselves back to that. And we live a defeated life. See, God is faithful. God is faithful to help us to walk through those times. He's faithful to help us walk through those through those addictions and those bad habits. And he's provided. He's provided the way out already. But we've got to give our lives to him and say, God, I can't do this. I need you to take this out of my life. And God is faithful to do just that in us. Which leads us to the last thing. Number one, God is always faithful to his word. Number two, God is faithful during the trials and temptation. Number three, God is faithful to forgive. God is faithful to forgive. And I know lots of times, and I've been there in life, that, you know, we tend to fall for the same things over and over. You know what I'm saying? It seems like lots of times everybody has that one struggle that we just keep going back to. And that it just seems to be our Achilles heel, to where we just can't seem to get over it. We keep going back and back, and we, God, forgive me. God, I failed again. And, you know, God, forgive me. And then you go and you do it again. God, forgive me. You go do it again and again and again. And eventually, like, God, there's got to be a limit to your grace, right? There's got to be a limit to how many times you're going to forgive me, right? But God is faithful to forgive. 1 John 1, verse 8, if we claim to have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our heart. See, I love this. If we confess our sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I don't see any limit to that, do you? I don't see a cap to that forgiveness. But see, here's the thing. He said he not only forgives us, but he cleanses us. He cleanses us from that unrighteousness, that wickedness in our life. See, we choose to go back. It's our choice to be in that place to where we keep going back again and again and again, because the price has been paid. The sin has been forgiven. You have been cleansed. Walk away from those things. Walk away from those things. Say, God, I can't do it. I need your help. Help me to walk away from this addiction. God, help me to walk away from this pornography. Help me to walk away from this low self-esteem. God, help me to walk away from these things, because this is not the way that you see me. You see me as righteous. You see me as holy. You see me as loved. You see me as perfect. You see me as victorious. God, help me to live in the way that you see me and not the way I see myself. Help me to live in the way that you see me and not the way the world sees me and what the world calls out in my life. God, help me to live in your grace. See, if you don't know your God, you don't know that he's faithful. You don't know that he's faithful to his word. You don't know that he's faithful to help you walk through those tough times in life. And you don't know that he's faithful to forgive you and that he's already cleansed you. See, guys, we got to know that God is faithful. We got to know that he's faithful. Even when we know we don't deserve it, he is faithful. Last scripture, 2 Timothy 2 says, here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. See, here's the beauty of what God's done for us, is that we don't earn the faithfulness of God. We don't earn the love of God. We don't earn the grace of God. See, God is faithful because he's faithful. He's not faithful because we're faithful. He's not unfaithful because we're unfaithful. He says, even when you're faithless, even when you fail, I am always faithful, because that's who I am. Guys, we need to learn to depend on the faithfulness of God in our life. Too many times we fall into that sin pattern and we want to run away from God. God, I don't even want to face him. I can't do this. When God's saying, come on back. See, too many times we get so sin focused in our life, whether we focus on the sin that we're doing or the sin that we're trying not to do. And we get so focused on sin. And that's all that's on our mind is sin, is that we forget about what God wants us to do. See, if we're constantly focused on what we're not supposed to do instead of what we're supposed to be doing, then we're going to always fall back into that sin, because it's all that's on our mind. See, there's freedom in God's forgiveness. There's freedom in God's grace. Instead, we need to be focusing on what God has placed before us. The calling of God on our life, in that when we are focused on him, God, I want to do what you want to do. I want to do what you've placed me here on this earth to do. God, that's what I'm going to strive to do. Yes, I'm going to fail. Yes, I'm going to fall. But I want to be focused on what you have for me to do. See, when we have that focus, when we sin, we say, God, forgive me, and we move on. And we keep going. But see, if we're constantly worried about our sin, then we're never going anywhere. Guys, God is faithful. God is faithful. Even though that you've been disappointed by man, man has failed you, man's disappointed you, God will never disappoint. Trust in him today. There might be someone here today that's never trusted him with their life. I'm here to tell you, God is faithful. This is not a show. This is not, man, this is imperfect people in a church struggling in life to fulfill God's purpose for them. We're not perfect. We fail, but we're striving. We're striving in God's love and God's grace. And I'm here to tell you that God has a plan for you, that it's a plan to bless you and to bring life to you. But you've got to accept that. You've got to say, I can't do this on my own. I need you, God. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. And that's where it begins. So today, if you need to pray that prayer, we're going to have people up here in second prayer team. Go ahead and come up. If you need prayer for that today, guys, we have people here ready to pray with you. Maybe you've been struggling in life. Maybe you've been struggling with an addiction. Maybe you've been struggling that maybe you thought that God might not be faithful in your life. And you're ready. It's like, God, I believe you. You're faithful. I'm putting my trust in you, God. I give this to you today. Here in just a second, we're going to sing another worship song. And I want you to come and lay that down before God today. And these guys are here to pray with you and to talk you through that. Father, thank you today for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace. God, we thank you that your grace isn't dependent on us. But God, you're faithful because you're faithful. God, you love us because you are love. God, you're gracious because you are grace. God, help us to trust in you. To trust in your faithfulness and your word and what you've said. God, that we put the voices of the world behind us, the voices of our haters behind us, and just focus on you today, God, and do a work in our hearts today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we stand and worship today?